Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by live blog director Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We are recapping the team's preseason opener. But we got to start off, I think, with the injury to rookie first-round draft choice Daytone Jones. That seems to be the thing on everybody's mind in the aftermath of the first preseason game. Everybody is wondering about Daytone Jones. How is he? Is he going to be okay? What's his recovery timeline like? All those things. So, to sum up, what happened was on Daytone Jones' very first play of the game, he got injured. If you don't know, he played only one play in the preseason opener and went down. I shouldn't laugh. It is rather interesting. Coincidence, ironic that it only lasted one play. It's unfortunate. I shouldn't laugh. I apologize. But he came down, so it was the first defensive series of the game. Jones comes in on third down. He didn't start the game, by the way. He didn't play on first down. The starting trio of defensive linemen is like it has been the past couple of years here. B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, and then C.J. Wilson starting at defensive end. But they did bring Daytone Jones in on third down. They came in. He was one of those pass rushing defensive tackles. The Cardinals faced third down and, a likely passing down. So the Packers go to their nickel package and, bring Jones in to be one of the pass rushers on the interior. Well, he was only in there for one play. He rushes the passer. Actually looks like he gets a pretty good move on him, but kind of like steps on the defensive lineman, like on his leg or his foot, kind of gets it, like just lands awkwardly. And then like the offensive lineman, while Jones is kind of in an awkward position, then the offensive lineman shoves him and he goes down. It was a unfortunate situation, just a terrible circumstance that Jones was put in that kind of led to his injury. If you look at the photo, and I don't know if anybody on the live blog here is able to share a link. I know I saw somebody posted it in the comments section at Cheesehead TV. A still shot of Daytone Jones' injury, like the moment he was injured, kind of when his leg was in an awkward position. It almost looks like the knee is kind of bent more awkwardly than the ankle, which is a little bit weird. But the word, that you kind of go throughout the whole game, they show shots of Daytone Jones on TV sitting on the bench. He's got his leg elevated. Obviously, you know he doesn't play the rest of the game. So after the game is done, Mike McCarthy confirms that he has a sprained ankle. Didn't have any more information at the time, but I mean, in the aftermath of the game, minutes after the game is over, that's about all you can expect from the head coach, just confirming what part of the body the injury was to. So Mike McCarthy says he has a sprained ankle. Then you're kind of hoping the day after the game he has a little more information. Well, it didn't happen. Saturday's press conference rolls around about 3 p.m. or so, 3:30, I think the press conference was. And, you know, obviously one of the first things he's asked about is Daytone Jones' injury. But Mike McCarthy had nothing to say. He says we have no update. He'll be undergoing further testing on Saturday, and he had no timeline for Daytone Jones. So now everybody, without any information, everybody's filling in the blanks for themselves. You know, I think Packers fans are fearing the worst. I've seen people say, well, you know, if it wasn't a big deal, they could have said that. You know, but they didn't say it wasn't a big deal. They just chose to say nothing. So people fill in the blanks on their own and assume the worst. And to tell you the truth, I mean, I really have no idea. If I had to guess, I would say at least the Packers are going to play it safe with them for the rest of the preseason. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see him not play another down, another snap the entire preseason, just because, I mean, there's nothing to be gained from it, really, at least from a health standpoint. Obviously, the reps would help for a rookie, but the most important thing is that he's out there on the field during the regular season. You know, what I'm reminded of is you got to go back to 2009 here. But the last time the Packers drafted a defensive lineman in the first round, B.J. Raji in 2009, you might remember he suffered an ankle injury in the team's last preseason game. Not the first, the last. Well, Raji went on to miss the first three games of his rookie season. Didn't play. Inactive. And you might remember, too, B.J. Raji's rookie season was nothing special. He went on to have a good sophomore season in 2010, best season of his career so far. But B.J. Raji's rookie season, nothing really notable. He had one sack the whole year, had a few tackles, didn't even start, I don't think. Maybe he did toward the end or something. But yeah, I mean, I really think B.J. Raji's ankle injury his rookie year really kind of set him back. Because it was, I mean, it kept him out of three games. Right in the beginning of the year. As John points out on the live blog, ankle injuries can linger. Yes, they can. But, I mean, I don't want to say that's the same case as Dayton Jones. I mean, really, we don't know right now. I mean, we can sit here and we can hope for the best and hope it's not serious and hope it was just, you know, kind of precautionary that he came out of the game, maybe just tweaked it a little bit and is like, oh man, I probably shouldn't play on this the rest of the game. Nothing wrong with a little optimism, but it, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, it's anything more than optimism right now. I mean, well, don't really know. I mean, is it serious? Could just be a sprained ankle that keeps him out a couple weeks. Well, I mean, if Dayton Jones misses the rest of the preseason, the rest of training camp, I mean, big deal, okay? So he doesn't play in the rest of the preseason. Packers can live with that. They've seen that from Clay Matthews for a couple years. You know, remember when Clay Matthews was having his hamstring injuries and knock on wood, be glad when nobody's seeing hamstring injuries from Clay Matthews right now. That's been a problem in the past in training camp. But remember when he did have his hamstring injuries and Clay Matthews has probably missed more preseason games than he's played in. But it has never seemed to hamper him during the regular season. He's always ready. He's always ready when the regular season starts and plays at a high level at that. So there's that to, you know, kind of lean back on and think about and be like, well, you know, a minor injury, guys can come back from that stuff, assuming it is a minor injury to Dayton Jones. So we kind of wait on, you know, an update on Dayton Jones. And we're back. I don't know if anybody had issues with the audio of the show kicking out, getting booted off. But I've restarted the show here and hopefully we're doing okay. I'm not sure what happened, but hopefully we're doing okay now. The audio is back. Everything appears to be working. Looks like the chat is starting anew and we'll be okay. So I apologize for anybody that was having any issues, but we're back up and running and, we'll continue our discussion here. The beginning of the show, we talked about Dayton Jones' injury, and what I want to do the rest of today, the rest of the show, is actually go through something rather interesting. I got the post-game evaluations for the Packers from ProFootballFocus.com, and as you know, during the regular season, we always have Nathan Yonke on every week from Pro Football Focus talking about the previous week's game, and I hope to continue to do that during the regular season. But I think it's going to be really fun. What I wanted to share with you is some of the evaluations from this past Friday night's season opener from ProFootballFocus.com. Well, yeah, I mean, if you don't know, and I think a lot of you probably do who have listened to the show before, is that Pro Football Focus grades every player on every play of the game. They track every snap they take during the whole game and give them a grade. You know, if they have a really good play, you know, they get points. And if they have a real bad play, they get points deducted. You know, so I just wanted to go through some of these grades here that I think you will find rather interesting from the Friday preseason opener. Starting with the offense, there were only four players with positive grades from the offense on Friday night. And I swear, you'll never guess who these guys are, who these four players are. Well, maybe you can. You'd get a few right, maybe. But, you know, I think you'd be surprised to hear some of these guys. So if you want to here, guess on the live blog. Just throw out a guess. Who do you think graded out the best on the Packers offense from Friday night, the preseason opener against the Cardinals? Who had the best grade of the entire Packers offense? Who is number one? And I'll get to that in a second. One guy who did receive a high grade, not the highest, but one of the only four players on offense who received a positive grade, you won't be surprised about. That's Aaron Rodgers. You know, he directed the team downfield that first drive of the game, drove them 85 yards, had the long completion to James Jones, the 50-yarder, and then came out of the game. You know, they ran the ball down at the goal line, got stuffed there with James Starks. Although Aaron Rodgers did have a few incomplete there in the end zone, one intended for James Jones, one intended for JerMichael Finley, that, you know, probably could have been completed, one of those two at least. Regardless, Aaron Rodgers did a pretty good job. It, you know, had it been the regular season, they would have kicked the field goal on fourth down and gotten 3 points out of that drive at least. And you know, they would have gotten some points instead of being shut out. Anyway, so Aaron Rodgers obviously does a good job. The other positive grades, here you go, to keep you from wondering any longer. The highest graded player from Friday night's game is offensive lineman Lane Taylor, had the highest grade at 2.6. That's right, the undrafted rookie who played primarily right guard, I think. I don't remember every snap where he lined up, but he played some of the most, I think he played the most snaps of offense on the entire night. Lane Taylor played 56 snaps, according to ProFootballFocus.com. Came out with the highest grade, had the best grade in pass protection. He graded out at a 1.3 in pass protection, had a small positive grade in his run blocking of a 0.6, but added up, it becomes 2.6 to go with his screen blocking as well. He did that and did a really good job. So, I think you're looking at Lane Taylor being pushing for a job on the 53-man roster this year. I don't want to give it to him already. It's only been one preseason game, but I think he could be the last offensive lineman the Packers keep if they were to keep 8 or 9. I'm not acknowledging yet that they are going to keep him, but he is really setting himself up for that. And I think at the very minimum, I think he is a member of the practice squad this year. So I do think maybe he has wrapped that up. So there's only two more guys who had positive grades from Friday night's game. Another, and I did see a couple guesses for this on the live blog. One of them was Don Barclay. He received a grade of 1.9, and he did do a pretty good job, I think. He kept Aaron Rodgers clean, and especially when you compare Don Barclay to Marshall Newhouse, I think Barclay played better than him. I think he did a better job. And you may start to see Don Barclay making more of a push to get that starting job at right tackle. I think you may see that here in the upcoming weeks. So that's good. And then the final positive grade
was tight end Matthew Mulligan. And this, he really did do a good job, folks. Go back in that game and especially watch his run blocking. He is fantastic. You know, he's never going to be much of a pass receiver. Sure, he may catch a few catches here and there. He'll be lucky to catch 10 passes the entire season. I don't even think he'll reach double digits. But he'll be out there playing special teams, and he'll be out there blocking on offense. And he did do a really good job. This guy's their best blocker at tight end they've had in a long time. He is really good and did a good job. So he's one of only, you know, part of the reason he got such a high grade is because the Packers only have him out there too on rundowns. You know, they'll take him out of the game when they know they're going to pass, unless he's going to pass block. But, you know, they don't really like to have tight ends pass blocking. They want the tight end out there running a route. So I mean, that's, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I mean, if he were out there on pass downs, he wouldn't be getting such a high grade. But he's good at what he does. Folks, when you're making your 53-man roster predictions, if you're like me, I do at the end of training camp, Matthew Mulligan is on it. It's not even a question. He is on the 53-man roster. Don't exclude him thinking like some other tight end's going to take his spot, or you're just trying to, you know, decide between him and any other position on the roster. Matthew Mulligan is on this team. You know, he's going to be their designated run blocker this year, and they'll use him on special teams too. So the two worst grades on the Packers offense, if you want to throw your guesses out there now on the live blog, who had the two worst days on the Packers offense, the two worst grades from ProFootballFocus.com? You'll probably be surprised about these as well. I'll give you the first name here, and they both had the exact same grade of a -1.1. The first one is running back Alex Green. He had a grade of a -1.1. He really did a poor job in his, you know, whenever he got the football, he didn't do anything with it. So he had one of the worst grades of the entire game. And the other guy who had the worst grade on the entire Packers offense, this one's really going to surprise you, I think. Quarterback Vince Young, the worst grade of anyone on the Packers offense. Yep, even worse than Graham Harrell. I think Harrell ended up getting a higher grade because he completed over 50% of his passes. You know, there were good things that Graham Harrell did in addition to a few bad things, no doubt about it. But yeah, Vince Young, and the reasoning they're giving it is because Vince Young, they think he was the reason for two sacks. He was sacked two times, and they think Vince Young was more at fault than the offensive line. So he had one of the worst grades the entire game. Kind of interesting because, obviously he didn't play a lot. So, I mean, take this all with a grain of salt. And he only completed one out of three passes. But the one pass that Vince Young did complete, it looked good. He converted a third down, nice pass downfield to the wide receiver. Kind of looked better than you know, a Graham Harrell in that respect, in that Vince Young has the better, stronger arm, you know, to convert that third down. And then there were two rushes that Vince Young had where he showed more mobility than any other Packers quarterback on the roster. So you kind of see those things and you see some steps taken here and be like, oh yeah, Vince Young, he's looking all right, especially considering he's only been in three practices in a Packers uniform. You know, you give him the benefit of the doubt. But yeah, Pro Football Focus gives them the lowest grade on the offense, primarily because of the two sacks. That's the big reason why. And you know, put this in the proper perspective. Just because one guy has one good game and one guy has one bad game, in the preseason, it's not their... that doesn't mean one guy's locked for a roster spot, and that doesn't mean another guy's out the door. But it shows you how they performed in one particular performance, which I do think You know, it adds up. It's one piece of the pie, one part of the puzzle. And you know, it is what it is. Okay, we're going to move to the defensive side of the football. For those of you who just joined us, we're reviewing. I got the grades from ProFootballFocus.com on how the Packers did, how every player was evaluated in the team's preseason opener. And on the Packers' defense, there were six guys that received a positive grade that was more than just a fraction of a percent. There were six guys who received a grade of 1 or over, 1.0 or over. And there was only one guy who received a negative grade of 1.0 or over. So negative one. Let's start with the bad side here. Throw your guesses on the live blog. Who had the worst grade on the Packers defense? There's only one guy who received a really, really bad grade on the whole team. Only one player received a really bad grade. So throw out your guesses there, and then I'll tell you what the answer is here in just 1 second. And I already see the guesses coming in. Kevin Lamb says Devon House got schooled Friday night. John guesses Devon House. Robert Stemsky guesses Devon House. Anybody who guesses Devon House, yeah, you're right. He received the lowest grade of the evening. You know, here's what I'm worried about with Devon House. Yes, he got beat on a couple different passes and obviously didn't look good. I am worried about Devon House that his shoulder is still an issue. He had off-season shoulder surgery. This is an issue that bothered him all last year, or at least, you know, after the injury occurred, a subluxation of the shoulder, which nobody has really, you know, gone in detail about in the media. I wouldn't doubt if there were ligaments torn in that shoulder. It's just my speculation. But anyway, he did have off-season shoulder surgery. But what really, really, you know, bothered me was on that one tackle attempt of Larry Fitzgerald on like a slant. House just bounced right off of him. Devon House is supposed to be this guy who has a reputation of being physical. He showed it in times in flashes in the past. I don't think you've seen a whole lot of him. He's only played like 300-plus snaps his entire career in the regular season, so we're not talking about a big-time body of work here. But, you know, he bounced off Larry Fitzgerald as if he wasn't even there. You know, he just it didn't look physical at all. I'm worried that there is more to this than meets the eye, that this issue, this shoulder issue is still bothering him, kind of in the same way that Tremont Williams, a shoulder issue has bothered him the past few seasons as well. Now, maybe this will just be an aberration. He just had a bad game. Maybe that's what Devon House needs to light a fire under him and be like, okay, I had a bad game. It's time to bounce back and start, you know, focusing. Because this is a big opportunity for Devon House. He's here and he's, you know, he got the opportunity to start. Tremont Williams is out. Casey Hayward is out. There's a chance here for him to get some major playing time. And he basically blew it. He blew it. He gives up the long touchdown pass, gave up a few other completions as well. You know, didn't look good. So not a good start for Devon House. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It's only one game. Hopefully he bounces back, but I do have concern. Okay, so like I said here, six players with positive grades that were over a fraction by ProFootballFocus.com. Go ahead and start throwing out your guesses who had the best grade on the Packers defense. Who graded out the best on the Packers defense from Friday night? And I see Brian Hall of Pro Football Focus checking in on our live blog. Thank you, Brian, for watching the show, listening to the show. Thank you for all the work you did in providing this morning show with these grades. We do appreciate it. So I'm glad that Pro Football Focus could join us here on the show. And feel free to thank Brian on the live blog, folks. But go ahead, throw out your guesses for the best grade from Friday evening. Once again, I apologize if people lost some audio. I'm not sure what's happening this morning. Everybody seems to be losing their audio at the same time, and I apologize. I don't know what's going on, but I'm glad I can just restart the show rather quickly and things get a quick fix here. That is a good thing from my end, but I don't know the reason why things or the audio would be cutting out, and it does kind of make me mad. Anyway, to wrap up our show here and talk about the defensive side of the football here, let me just get right to it. The highest grade from ProFootballFocus.com. The grade goes to Packers defensive lineman Mike Daniels, received a grade of 3.7. Looked good, especially in his pass rush, but also fared well in his run defense as well. So he receiving the highest grade of the entire evening, that is a very good thing. Mike Daniels receiving a top grade, a guy who has received quite a bit of publicity early in training camp because, he's looked good so far. A guy going into his second year, he's kind of small. Everybody knows the story with Mike Daniels by now. He's short, he's undersized, but he's quick. I think people see him kind of playing a pass rush specialist role for the Packers, you know, playing in their nickel defense and being a pass rusher on those designated downs, you know, most likely second and third downs, second and long, third and long. You know, it's going to be Daniels rushing the passer a lot. So that's a good sign that he played well. Some of the other highest grades, there were two players who tied for the second highest grade. You might be surprised. One of them was Johnny Jolly, the player who's coming off his 3-year suspension. I was a little bit surprised how high of a grade Johnny Jolly did, because I also saw times in which he got whipped around a little bit as well. But obviously, his positives outweighed his negatives on Friday evening. Even though he did do a few things poorly, he did more things well, and that's a good sign. I think what you're seeing from Johnny Jolly this training camp is you're seeing improvement from him almost every day, which is a really good sign. I mean, it seems like every practice he's doing better. He showed up, he flashed a few plays in the family night scrimmage, and then he did well in their first preseason game. So that's really good from Johnny Jolly. You hope it just, the trend continues. He continues to improve. I still don't think he's done enough for a roster spot, but I'm not ruling him out. Again, we'll see how the rest of the preseason plays itself out. Who knows? You know, all of a sudden there could be an injury that opens the door and the Packers keep him. Who knows? Maybe this injury to Dayton Jones opens up a spot on the defensive line. We don't have that information yet, but we may soon. The second highest grade, tied for the second highest grade from Friday night, linebacker Robert Francois. And I think what you'll remember about his game on Friday night is Francois had the one blitz in which he got a free hit at the quarterback and actually touched the quarterback, but failed to make the tackle. It was rather stupefying to me that he kind of failed to make that tackle. But, I mean, the fact that he reached the quarterback in the first place, he forced a quick throw. He did put a hit on the QB, even though he didn't bring him down. So I do think that was a positive. He's got to finish. Obviously has to finish the play. You know, Robert Francois, he's a 4-year veteran now. He knows the Packers defense. He's using that to his advantage. He knows what's going on out on the field. You know, he's been around the block, so that's a good thing. Elsewhere, Other positive grades, people will be happy to hear this. Nick Perry received a high grade of 1.4, mainly due to his run defense. I think people have been frustrated early in training camp. I know people have hit me up on Twitter saying, how's Nick Perry looking? And I said, it's been a quiet training camp for him. Nothing really good, but on the positive side, nothing really bad. And I think you see him took a step forward on Friday night. Nick Perry playing good run defense. He only played 13 snaps. So again, I mean, small sample size here. But I mean, obviously, that's going to be important. Considering what Adrian Peterson did to the Packers last year, considering what Colin Kaepernick did to the Packers last year, you're going to need an outside linebacker who plays good run defense. So that's good. Obviously, sacks are the sexy stat. They're the sexy statistic. People want to see sacks from Nick Perry. I understand that. But, you know, take things slow. He had a positive game, and he did well. Another positive grade was outside linebacker Jarvis Reed. This one probably caught people by surprise simply because he's probably the 90th player on the roster. I think a lot of people don't even know who Jarvis Reed is. He played primarily, I think, right outside linebacker during the game. I'm not sure if he switched sides at all. But the undrafted rookie having a positive performance in his first outing. And then here you go, too. The player with the highest grade from the secondary, and this is the last guy I'll mention today from the Packers defense, the player with the highest grade in the entire Packers secondary, and it wasn't a very good game for the Packers secondary, but the defensive back who graded out the best was Jarrett Bush. So there you go. Obviously, Jarrett Bush, a guy who's had his troubles in the past, a guy who a lot of fans will say they rather wouldn't see him out on the field. And obviously he played with the scrubs. He played with the third string. He played toward the end of the game. The Packers know what they've got in Jarrett Bush. He's not going to be a starter anymore. I think they've resigned themselves to that. He's going to be a backup. He's going to be a special teams, primarily guy. That's where he's going to make his money. But he's going to be a backup cornerback, and he's going to play in those goal line packages like he did last year probably. But, it's for the guy who's your last cornerback on the roster during the regular season, the last guy coming off the bench, at least he's a veteran. At least he knows what's going on. You saw these other guys on Friday night, the young cornerbacks, Lois Means, Brandon Smith, James Nixon. You can see those guys making rookie mistakes out there. It's just partially because of their inexperience. And you see a guy like Jarrett Bush play pretty well because he's a veteran. He knows what's going on. He knows the defense in and out. He knows Dom Capers' systems and schemes. So that really helps. So it is what it is. But anyway, folks, thanks for joining me here on a Monday morning on Railbird Central. I apologize for the audio issues we had cutting out a few times. I'll try to see what the problem is, but I'm glad we were able to quickly restart anytime we had some issues. So thanks for joining me here again on a Monday morning. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you back here on Wednesday morning, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at CheeseheadTV.com and podcast later. We'll see you, folks. I leave you today with a song by Humphreys McGee. It's called Nemo on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.